This morning, we're going to be in John chapter 10 for the next few weeks. John chapter 10, verse 1 through 5. It says this, Very truly, this is Jesus, by the way. Very truly, I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. So Jesus, he's drawing this parallel to him being the shepherd. You and I are the sheep. And it's interesting that he chose sheep because sheep are not the smartest people in the world. And so don't get offended. But like every sheep needs a shepherd. Otherwise, they're going to starve. They'll walk off a cliff. And so Jesus is like, hey, you need me. And then verse 3, and this is the verse that we're going to be looking at specifically today. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, for the shepherd, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of him, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. And so I'm going to just lay out the format for the next few weeks. We're going to take a break next week for Mother's Day, and I have a message that I want to share with you for all the ladies of the house. But we're going to go through this progression of hearing God's voice, of learning God's voice, listening to God's voice, knowing God's voice, and then how to decipher God's voice. And so that's going to set the stage for this month. And so this morning, if you're taking notes, I want to talk to you briefly from this subject, the art of listening, the art of listening. Let's pray and we'll jump in. Father, we thank you so much for today. God, we thank you for your kindness, your faithfulness to us. Jesus, I pray right now that you would just move in our hearts this morning, each and every person here. Holy Spirit, we recognize you as our guest of honor. We say, do what only you can do. God, we want to leave here changed. We want to leave here better, but not for our own benefit, but so that we can change the world around us. And so, God, help us to take what we get here today so that we can bring it outside of these four walls. And so we thank you for that. We love you. We bless you. We honor you in Jesus' name. Come on, everyone said amen, amen, amen. Thank you, Ellie. I love having the keys up here because it just makes me sound way more holy. You know what I'm saying? So listen, I don't know if this is a guy thing, but my wife tells me that I am not a good listener. And she's like, hey, I'm not a good listener. I'm like, that makes no sense. I feel like I am, you know? And so as you know, for those of you that are brand new, every week I try to just give like an illustration that kind of points to the big picture of what we're talking about today. And so I knew that we were talking about listening. So I went to my wife and I said, baby, when has there ever been a time that I wasn't listening to what you said? And she said, that happens all the time. And I said, you're hurting my feelings. You're breaking my heart. So I was thinking about her saying that. I was thinking about how she was like you never listen. And in my defense, because she is not here this morning. She's with the kids serving your little angels. But in my defense, I don't listen because when she's trying to tell me something, I'm preoccupied. Right? You can't tell me something, expect me to listen when it's fourth quarter of the Super Bowl and the Niners are almost going away. Like, you can't talk to me. I'm not listening. Right? And so I would argue that it's not that I don't listen. It's just that my ears are preoccupied to something else. And so I submitted to her. I said, baby, like, if you're going to tell me something, you got to say, hey, John, I need you to listen. I need your undivided attention. Now, here's why I'm telling you this idea of listening and being preoccupied is because I think it's true when it comes to you and I hearing God's voice. Let me say it this way, that as we establish this idea that God wants to talk to you and to me, before we could ever know God's voice or before we can ever decipher God's voice, we first have to take on the posture of listening to God's voice. This posture of, hey, God, I'm listening if you want to say something to me. In fact, so we're on the same page, my friend Google, I don't know what Google is. A quick Google search defines listening as the ability to give close attention to someone or something. So as we build this idea of how you and I hear God's voice, we're going to start with at ground level. And it starts with us learning the art of listening. The art of listening. And so what we're going to do is we're going to look at John chapter 10, specifically today, verse 3. And I want to pull out a few things that I think help you and I become active listeners, okay? And so just in case you forgot verse 3 already, it says this: the gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. So just a little bit of context of this whole sheep analogy that Jesus is saying. Back during this time period, the shepherds, they would have like this sheep fold, and it was like this acre of land, and there was just giant gate around it, and there was one entrance in and out. And what the shepherds would do is they would come and they would at nighttime, they would bring all their sheep into this sheepfold, and then they would leave. And so in the sheepfold, there's all different types of shepherds and their sheep in this area. And in the morning, they would come and they would pick up their sheep. And so this is what Jesus is saying, that the shepherd comes and enters through the gate, and the sheep hear his voice. And so what I want to submit to you, the first thing when it comes to if you and I are going to be active listeners, here's number one. Active listening requires me to be aware that God is speaking. Active listening requires me to be aware that God is speaking. So this idea that God speaks, that God talks, he actually models this idea in the very beginning of our Bible, in Genesis chapter 1. It doesn't say that God thought the earth into existence. It doesn't say that God thought the stars in the sky and poof, they appear. But it says that God spoke into existence, the stars in the sky. And so from the very beginning, what we see is this idea that the God of the universe, that he is create, like he speaks things into existence. And so I want to submit to you this morning that if God the creator spoke creation into existence, that he also wants to not just speak creation into existence, but he wants to speak to his creation. God wants to talk to you and to me. And so we have to be aware that God wants to speak to you, that God wants to talk to you. And so my question this morning is, are you aware? Do you make yourself aware? Because the tension is that if I am not aware that God is talking to me, that God wants to speak to me, and my attention and focus is on something else, that when he talks, when he speaks, that I'm not aware, and so I miss what he's trying to say. And so the first posture of listening to God is becoming aware, like, God, I am aware. In fact, we see this in 1 Samuel chapter 3. It's a story of Samuel and the priest Eli. If you're unfamiliar, I'm just going to give you a quick recap. Samuel, he's asleep, and he hears this voice, Samuel. So Samuel, he wakes up, he runs over to Eli the priest, and he said, Eli, I'm here. I heard you call me. And Eli's like, I didn't call you. He's like, okay. So he goes back to bed. Second time, he's sleeping.
Samuel, Samuel.
He wakes up, he runs to Eli again. He's like, Eli, you called me, what's up? And Eli's like, dude, like I didn't call you. Go back to sleep. He's like, okay. Third time, he hears
Samuel, Samuel.
Samuel wakes up, he runs to Eli. He said, Eli, I'm here again, man. Like, this is hard to sleep when you keep waking me up. And Eli, he tells him, Samuel, it's not me. But scripture says that at that moment, that Eli recognizes what's taking place. He recognizes that God is calling Samuel. And so I want to read to you his response in 1 Samuel chapter 3 in verse 10. Nope, that's a lie. Verse 9. We'll start at verse 9. So Eli told Samuel, go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there calling as at the other time, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel said, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. And so what I want you to see is that Eli was like, hey, Samuel, what you're hearing, let me say it this way. What Eli was trying to do was help position Samuel to be aware that God is wanting to speak. And so this morning, if I could be your Eli and just let you know, hey, God of the universe wants to speak to you. He wants to commune with you. And this idea of just saying that we can learn to be like Samuel that would say, speak, Lord, your servant's listening. Or speak, Lord, I am aware that you want to speak to me. And so if we are going to become masters at this art of listening, it first starts with you and I becoming aware. And then, so again, verse 3, the gatekeeper opens the gate for him and the sheep listen to his voice. They are aware that he's there. And watch this. And then it says this, he calls the sheep by name. He calls the sheep by name. So I need to be aware that God wants to speak to me, right? But here's the second thing, active listening requires me to recognize God's tone. Listening requires me to recognize God's tone. So we need to know the voice of God, the words of God, but we also have to recognize his tone. I don't know about you, I grew up and my parents were like, hey, you can say whatever you want, but you got to have the right tone. And so because you could say something super nice, but you could sound like super grouchy. And people are like, whoa, that's a horrible tone. And so this idea, like, we got to recognize God's voice, his words, but you also got to recognize his tone. And the reason why it's important to understand his words and his tone is because, FYI, the devil knows God's words too. The devil, no, like you think about it, in the creation story, in Genesis chapter 3, the serpent, what does he say? Did God really say this? Did God really say you can't eat from the tree, from any tree? He's the tone, right? But here's a better example. We see when Jesus goes into the wilderness, he fasts for 40 days. And while he's fasting, what happens? The enemy, Satan, he comes and he begins to tempt Jesus. And how does he tempt Jesus? With the word. He says, for it is written. Three times. For it is written. For it is written. What? So the enemy, he knows God's words. And if I am not careful, I will misinterpret the enemy for God. And so I need to understand his tone, Jesus, I want to submit to you, he understood the tone of the enemy when he was being tempted. When the enemy said, this can all be yours if you do this, for it is written. And then Jesus, he claps back because he knows the tone. He says, wait. He said, you should not bow your knee to anyone else but God. Why? He knew, he understood, he heard the words, but he understood the tone. And so I want to submit to you that we got to know God's word, his voice, but we also got to recognize his tone. Because if I just know his words, but I don't know the tone, again, I will be led astray. I got to know his tone. And so in this passage in John chapter 10, as Jesus is telling this story of the sheep and the shepherd, there's two things that I think helps identify Jesus' tone in this story. And the first one is this, that his tone, Jesus' tone, it says that he called them by name. So I want to submit to you that Jesus' tone is full of intimacy for you and for me, that is intimate. He didn't say, hey, sheep, you, come on, we're going home. He said, hey, Mary, let's go. He said, hey, Josh, let's go. He called them by name. Come on, we got to know that the God of the universe, that he wants to have like this intimate relationship with you and with me. Not one that is far off, not one that is distant, but one that is intimate, one that is close, one where he wants to know everything that you and I go through. There's an intimate tone to his voice. Something that's soothing. And then we see the second thing that we see in John chapter 10 and verse 11. Jesus, he says this about himself. He says, for I am a good shepherd. And then he goes on, he says, like, there's other people that pretend to be a shepherd, but when the wolf comes, they like peace and they run. He said, but I stay. What is he saying? He cares. So his tone is that of care, of intimacy, but also the tone of I care for you. And caring doesn't just mean affirmation to what you want. Sometimes caring means no. And so God, his tone is intimate to you and to me, but it's also very caring. It's gentle. He said, I am a good shepherd. I'm a good shepherd. And so we have to become active listeners. We gotta be aware, okay? We have to recognize God's tone. So we gotta know his voice, but we also gotta know the tone. And then here's the third thing. Active listening requires me to respond to God speaking. Active listening requires me to respond to God speaking. So here again, here's verse 3. He's going to put it up on screen. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen. They're aware. They hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name. Right? So the tone of this intimacy and caring. And then, and leads them out. So, at some point, the proverbial ball was in the sheep's court. So the shepherd pops in. He's like, "I'm here, Billy. I'm here, Mary. I'm here." But at that point, I want to submit to you that it's the sheep's job to respond to the voice. And I think it's so important that we understand this idea of responding, because we could spend the next 4 weeks learning on how to hear God's voice. But if I don't respond to what God is saying, friends, we're wasting our time. If I don't learn to just like to hear God's voice, but then respond, what are we doing here? Like there, we could be anywhere. And so I want to learn to not just hear, but I got to learn to respond. And this morning, here's the great thing about responding is that as I respond to God, his voice gets louder in my head. If you want to quench his voice to where you can't hear it, keep saying, nah, I hear you, but nah. Because eventually it becomes dimmer and dimmer. And so I have to learn that when I hear God's voice, that I have to respond. I have to respond to it. Because the more that I respond, the more God entrusts. The more God speaks, the more he entrusts. And this is crazy to me too. Because sometimes when God's speaking to me, and it's not like an audible voice, don't be like, oh, he's so holy, you know, like, how does that happen? You tell me. And but a lot of times when God is speaking to my heart, it's usually not about another person, it's usually not about a situation, but it's usually about something that I need to deal with in here. And so I have to learn to respond, and sometimes his voice requires me to respond to something that I'm still loving to hold on to. And in those moments, I have to learn to not just listen, but respond. As the band comes up, back into our story in 1 Samuel chapter 3. So Samuel, remember the story? God speaks to Samuel. And so here's what I didn't tell you, is that what God told Samuel involved Eli the priest. And so God's like, Samuel, hey, like Eli the priest, he's in rebellion. He's not listening. And so because of that, I'm a judge him. And so Samuel's like, I wish I didn't hear your voice, you know? It's one of those things, it's not an easy thing. And so Samuel, he goes to sleep. If he's like me, you know, a little melatonin at night, doesn't hurt nobody. Don't email me if it does, because like someone's like, technically it does. Shut. Okay, so Samuel, he's asleep, right? He falls asleep. He wakes up the next morning. This is in scripture, 1 Samuel chapter 3. You can read it out. 1 Samuel chapter 3. And he wakes up. You know, he's there, and Eli the priest, he goes, the one that was like, hey, the one that actually told him, hey, this, like, say, God, I'm aware that you're speaking. Eli the priest, he goes to Samuel, and he's like, he says, so, did God ever speak to you? Samuel's like, no, Samuel. Yes. Eli said, what did God say? I don't know. Samuel, what did God say? That he's going to judge you because you're in rebellion? Could you imagine that? Like, if I'm Samuel in that moment, I'm like, dude, like, he said that you are highly favored. You are blessed and highly favored, Eli. But no, he said that God's gonna judge you because you didn't take action with your kids. And Samuel, in this moment, and here's why I think this is significant. Because Samuel had a choice. Was he going to respond? Was he going to listen and respond, or was he just going to listen and just keep it to himself? But I want to read this to you. So Samuel, he tells Eli what God had spoken to him. And here's what it says in 1 Samuel 3, verse 19. It said, the Lord was with Samuel as he grew up. And he let none of Samuel's words fall to the ground. What is that saying? It's saying that when Samuel was willing to respond to God's word, something happened. I want to say that there was a trust factor that began to take place between God and Samuel. That God in that moment, he was like, oh, I can trust Samuel with my words. And God trusted Samuel so much with his words that it was this young Samuel that would grow up, that God would eventually speak to anoint Saul as king. It would be this young Samuel that God trusted with this small thing that would eventually become the same Samuel that would speak the word over King David and say, David, you're the next king. Why? Because at a young age, Samuel learned that if I listen and he hears, then I respond, God continues to entrust me with something more. And so this morning, my heart is that as we go on this journey for the next 3 weeks, that we would have this posture of, God, I'm listening. Here I am. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. I am aware that you want to speak. And God, I want to respond.